Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is your night to die to yourself. Welcome to the house of death. Jesus says something very powerful. He says, it can't live unless it first dies. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Nothing like God's presence. It's a wonderful thing to be filled with the Spirit and get drunk. Where it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. But you got to get in His presence first. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Hallelujah. In verse 17, you know, there's been some building on revelation. We've been building on revelation. And the Word tells us that where there is no revelation, the restraints are removed. In other words, revelation comes in the throne room of God by the Holy Spirit. And when revelation is released to us, we restrain the flesh. Why? Because there's an encouragement, there's an impartation, there's more of Christ in us. So we know that the flesh, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, and the things of the world try to contaminate our spirit. And when our spirit is contaminated, our soul becomes carnal. When our soul becomes carnal, our flesh becomes rebellious. And in this, revelation is essential because it brings so much of God. It's like eating a full course meal. It's like going to Burger King and getting it your way. And you get it everything. It's just like, whoa. And it penetrates. It radiates through your whole being. Where your spirit man comes strong. Strong to overcome anything of the soul and anything of the flesh. When I had my visitation over 21 years ago, I didn't even know the Word of God. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know anything. But when He came, filled me, baptized me, brought me to the other side, introduced Himself to me, realized He was my dad, now was His son, and there's another place I came from. Now, I didn't know the Word, but I knew the Word. Why? Because the Word was in me now. The person of the Word of God was in me. The person. And in that I knew what was correct, what was incorrect, what was righteous, what was unrighteous, what was clean, what was unclean, what was holy, and what was unholy. I knew that. I knew His voice, and I didn't want anything more than to please Him. I was totally fulfilled and satisfied, and I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I wasn't looking to work. I wasn't looking to save someone. I wasn't looking for anything. At that moment, I was so overflowed and filled and satisfied. And I realized that I was from another place. And that this place was temporary. And I realized that I've been lied to my whole life. I realized that getting high, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and all the money and fame was nothing but a counterfeit of God's presence. All the work I used to do, all the things. I owned businesses left and right. I did all kinds of things to try to make money, made money, lost it, and just used it. And I realized all that success and all those things and all the material things was nothing. Nothing compared to His presence, His love, and revelation. And it changed my life. He changed my life. See, I wanted to change, but I can't change. None of us can change one another. Only the one who made you can change you. And He wants to change us from glory to glory, but He's asking for a little cooperation. Because nothing changes without cooperation. Amen? And in this arena that God is, I believe, bringing us into, is such a reality, such a picture. He spoke to the disciples and individuals in parables so that they would have a picture. And I want you to grab a picture tonight that is so vitally important. This revelation, I'm building on revelation because this revelation has been going on for about a week and a half now. And this revelation is that there is three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of self. And there's the kingdom of God. I'm going to repeat it again. There are three kingdoms. There is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of self, and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of self is what we call tangible. The kingdom of Satan rules the kingdom of self. It's unseen. Satan's kingdom is unseen. He rules the kingdom of self. The kingdom of self is called the matrix. It's ruled by Satan's kingdom. When Jesus came and said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is upon you," he was saying, "Come out of the kingdom of self." He was given invitation to come out of the kingdom of self. And too many believers are in the kingdom of self. In the kingdom of self, there's all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of religiosity, all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of things, where people are being tossed to and fro, not desiring God's presence. Let me share something you. Works without obedience is destructive. You can go out and work to death and say, "God sent me," but if he didn't send you, it's going to be destructive. He's not interested in what you can do for him. His first thing is his interest is that you become his son and his daughter. Too many people are wanting to run out right away and don't even know who he is, only what they read about, and don't know his presence or his unction or what is true. Will is for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, would you read it with me? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Christ is God's presence." It's the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Christ means anointed one. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So what if you're not in Christ? What if you're not walking in the presence? Then you're in this kingdom of self. Do you understand that? If you're not walking in the presence of God, you're not walking in the kingdom of God. "But I'm a believer." Well, if you're a believer, the word "believe" means to follow. If you're following, you should be walking in the presence of God, or else you're really not a believer. You're a wannabe. Amen? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Look at this. "Old things have passed away." Old things are what? Old things are the old man. Old things means self. "Behold, all things have become new." In other words, things are coming new. You no longer act the way. You no longer think the way you used to. Everything is done with. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted, but it doesn't overcome you. He who is in God's presence is a new creation. Walking out of the old into the new creation. And this new creation is a reflection of his character. Does everybody get that? This new creation is a reflection of his character. Of course, there's the other reflection. Self is the character of Satan. So there's this place where you and I must get to that we overcome self. Does everybody got it? Overcome what? Self. Overcoming self. Let's go to Isaiah 14. You realize that the Bible says something very powerful. It says, "In the latter days, many people will fall from the faith." In other words, they will lose vision. Because faith has to do with sight, spiritual sight. There's no such thing as blind faith. That's people who assume because they walk in the kingdom of self. There is no such thing as blind faith. It says it was counted to Abraham as faith and righteousness. Why? Because God spoke, Abraham sought, and he did it. Jesus said something powerful. "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first." So I want you to understand that faith is not blind. God speaks, you see, you move. That's called faith. It's vision. Isaiah 14. Is everybody there? In verse 12, would you read it with me? "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart," now look at this. This is the birth of self. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will what? Also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. See, people's self becomes an idol. And we must get to that place where we are overcoming self on a daily basis. Of course, this is what Jesus' response to Lucifer. He says, and you shall be brought down to Sheol, or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Amen? Now, I want you to know that here's something very powerful, because this is where the presence of God was exchanged for the presence of self. And that's when the Lord removed Lucifer from his throne room, because he doesn't associate with the presence of self. Because it has nothing but I syndrome. Is everybody all right? The presence of self came to pass and was birthed right here. Exchanged the presence of God for the presence of self. That's why you and I must be born again of the Spirit. So another presence comes. The new creation, which is a reflection of the one who created us, so that we no longer walk according to we used to walk. We're brand new. And listen, this is more than just a one-time event. It is a lifetime event. It's something that must be maintained. That's why people backslide. Why? Because they fall into the kingdom of self and then into outer darkness, Satan's kingdom. In Genesis chapter 2, overcoming self. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, verse 7, I'm sorry. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Life. And man became a what? Living being. He didn't put blood in him. He put a life spirit in him, not blood. He was an eternal being, so he wouldn't trip and cut himself and bleed to death. It was impossible. He was eternal. It wasn't until self was manifested when he sinned that now the life of the flesh was put into the blood. The life of the flesh was in the blood. But prior to that, self was not existent. Does everybody understand that? That's why when Lucifer, the serpent, deceived them, they became self. He knew that if he can get them to become self, he would birth something in them. And now they would fall from the presence of God, would leave them. And the presence of self came, and they became blinded to the other side. They no longer saw the serpent. They no longer saw God. They didn't see angels anymore. They were blinded from the other self, because self is blinded. It comes into another kingdom under the rule of Satan. Is everybody okay? In verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. So he was eating of the tree of life, right? All right. In verse 15, then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of the Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in it, the day that you eat of it, you shall what? You shall die. In other words, you will lose my presence. You will what? Lose my presence. And another presence will exchange my presence. He calls that death. Has everybody got that? And this is where the presence of self, when they fell, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they fell. They exchanged the presence of God for the presence of self. And this is where self was birthed here. Now, in James chapter 4. Now, in this arena, again, the Lord, there's the scripture that says, many will fall from the faith. And it says, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And what's the purpose of that? So that people will walk from the presence of God into the presence of self. Does everybody get this? What separates the old man from the new man is God's presence. If I don't know if you ever had a glass of water and you put oil in it, what happens? It separates, doesn't it? It's the same thing. What separates you and me from the old self is God's presence. And that's why what happens is the enemy doesn't want you in God's presence because he knows he can keep you in the kingdom of self. And if he can keep you in the kingdom of self, he can busy you for false fulfillment and counterfeit presence of God, even though you're miserable. Oh, hallelujah. You cannot fight things spiritually in the flesh. You will lose every time. You can only fight the spirit realm in the spirit. Oh, glory. James 4. Is everybody there? I'm getting there. In verse 1, let's read it together. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that what? War in your members. What's those members? It's called what? Self. Okay. Does everybody get it? Now, there's something we're going to go to because now the self is associated with the flesh. But we'll get there. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask amiss. You're asking for something that's going to promote self or fulfill your flesh. It's not according to the will of God. That you may spend it on your what? Pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? Proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I want you to understand that God resists self. Because self is full of pride. He resists it. There's something that we've got to grab hold of. The only way that we're going to overcome self is to first recognize that there is one. See, so many people just think that their thoughts are theirs, that their feelings are theirs, and all of these other goofy, foolish things. Oh, it's just me. Well, where's the true you? The one that he created. The new creation in Christ. See, so we've got to first recognize that there is a self. And one of the second most important things, please grab hold of this, is that self is your enemy. He is not a friend. She is not a friend. Self is your enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Now, it says anyone who's a friend of the world, who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Then you're under the rule of Satan. That means you're living in the kingdom of what? Self. So if you're a friend of the world, you act like the world. You go to the things of the world. You entangle yourself in affairs of the world. You do business like the world. Hello? Without any integrity, then you're an enemy of God. Does everybody get it? He's not your enemy. We become his enemy. Why? Because self, he rejects. It's your enemy too. So if it's an enemy of God, is it our enemy too? Yes. Again, two important things are important. First, we must recognize that there is self. And second, we must recognize that it is your enemy. Now, you cannot kill self. It's the only thing that keeps us here. But we can't allow self to use us. Does everybody get it? That's why the word says, if you're led by the Spirit, your flesh is crucified. So self must be crucified. It doesn't die, it just stays bound. But when the enemy's always trying to do is loose self so it rules over you again. The enemy uses self to rule you. Listen, so you're battling demonic forces too, aren't you? So you may be clean, swept, but self is still there. And when self gets hungry, you know what it does? It invites every type of demon there is. I want. I want. It whines. It whines like a baby. And it wants everything it can't have. Oh, glory. Proverbs 14. It loves addiction. It loves lust. It loves rebellion. It loves to be puffed up. It loves to be self-exalting. and it loves the world. Overcoming self starts with first recognizing that there is a self and that it is your enemy. Proverbs 14, is everybody there? Amen. Glory. You know, one of the things, if self is prideful, then it always wants to protect itself, doesn't it? It's always got something to say. Let's see here in verse 15 and 16. The simple believes every word, but the prudent what? Considers his steps. 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is what? Self-confident. Self-confident. I can do that. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Other than that, I'm self-confident. Where does my help come from? The Lord. 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intents is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Again, that's nothing but self. It's all about me. Self-confident. Departs from God. It's independent of God. Self-confidence is independent of God. When they had the large women movement years ago, its purpose was to bring division. Does everybody understand it? When gays and homosexuals and so forth started to move in an arena, what was it? They became what? Independent. Did you remember when they came out of the closet? I didn't know they were hanging in a closet, first of all. You know, but when I heard they came out. Hallelujah. I knew something was wrong because God didn't make Adam and Steve. Something wasn't right there, but, you know. But anyways, hallelujah. Leviticus 19. Self-confident causes an individual to be independent of God and dependent on self. Yeah, when I heard they were coming out of the closet, I said, man, I didn't know they were in mine. But they were. Hallelujah. Now everybody knows it's just a spirit of homosexuality, right? It's not the person, it's a demon. Hallelujah. Leviticus 19 and verse 28, would you read it with me? You shall not make any what? Cuttings in your flesh for what? The dead. You know how many cutters there are around these days? People don't even realize that it is a demon. And they're actually dripping blood and sacrificing their blood to Satan when they cut themselves. And they serve, and the demon is called Baal. It says, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. All of this is an expression of self. Self. People tattoo themselves to dress up. Expression of self. Does everybody understand that? That's all it is. And Matthew 16. You don't think God knew that? Why did he tell them not to tattoo themselves? Not because they have ID, you know, or you'll be marked forever. Of course, that's why I didn't tattoo myself. Hallelujah. It's kind of remarkable to me, all the drug dealers in the world, they're all tattooing themselves. What are they, nuts or what? They can walk around with all these IDs, but they catch them on the tattoo. It's like the same guy I knew one time. He got busted for stealing the car. I said, how did you steal it? He said, well, I went into a car lot. I said, really? You went into a car lot? You stole the car? He said, yeah. I said, well, how did they catch you? He said, well, I gave my ID. I said, my God, is this what they're doing these days? Dumb, dumb, and dumber. He might as well tattoo your head. Dumb. Ay, ay, ay. Matthew 16. Is everybody there? Verse 21, would you read it with me, please? Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So Jesus was telling him, everyone, his will. This is what's going to be happening. I want to prepare you guys, all right? This is the will of God. Now, verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to what? He began to rebuke God, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. I'm going to kick some butt and cut off some ears." But Jesus turned to him and said, "Peter," he said to him, to Peter, "get behind me," who? Satan. Well, who came up? Self. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the what? Things of man." Ooh. Then Jesus turned around to all the disciples and said, "Did you check this out?" And he said, "If any of you desires to come after me, to follow me, let him" what? Wait a minute. He said, deny what? Himself. Wait a minute. Didn't he just rebuke self? And what did he call him? Satan. Why? Because when you and I were born into this realm, we were children of Satan. That's what self is. "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will" what? "Lose it." So what did Jesus do? He came to exchange the presence of self for the presence of God. And get us out of the kingdom of self into the kingdom of God. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will" what? "Find it." Find the new life. "For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world?" Well, didn't he say anyone who is a lover of the world is an enemy of God? "And loses his own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Self loves excuses. It loves arguments too. It loves to put down other people to bring themselves up. Romans 8, verse 1. Would you read it with me? "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." In other words, who are in what? God's presence. "Who do not walk according to the" what? Self. Flesh. Remember, flesh. Self is now expressed through the flesh. "But according to the" what? "Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement," everyone say righteous requirement, "of the law," now the law is death and hell. The wages of sin is what? Death. And that's why they had to sacrifice animals. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who what? Do not walk according to the flesh or according to who? Self. But they walk according to the what? Spirit. Wow. So they're walking according to the Spirit of God, which allows them to be walking with the presence of God, living in the kingdom of God. Other than that, they're living in the kingdom of self. For those, verse 5, would you read it with me? "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Oh, they're gazers. The flesh looks at, hunts mates. It's a hunter of the opposite sex. Because it wants to fulfill the flesh. It can't wait on God. Does everybody understand that? It can't wait on God. It has to look for now. It's always ahead of God. It's never being led. It's ahead of God. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Amen? But prayer and supplication. See, flesh cannot submit to a self cannot submit to authority. It says, yes, 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 but it really doesn't. Because it's still living in the kingdom of self, not in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God submits to one another. It acknowledges authority. It respects it. In the kingdom of God, there's respect. In the kingdom of self, it's self-respect. Me, myself, and I. For those living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, things of self. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what they're doing now is living in the kingdom of God, saying is, I give up everything. I'm not doing anything. I live for you, Lord. And I live to expand your kingdom. That I may be a witness and sign and wonder to the world. Whatever it takes. I labor for you. My trust is in you. You are my provider. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You're my doctor. You're my friend. You're my dad. And you're the one who allows escape for me. Why? Because it says many of the afflictions are the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. All of them. Why? Because that's kingdom business. See, you don't live from the past no more. You live from the future. There's a difference. If you're living from the past, then you're living in the kingdom of self. If you're living from the future, you're living in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? Peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So self can never submit to God. It never will submit to God. It is an offspring of Satan. It is a child of the devil. It will never, never, never submit to God. It must be crucified. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because you're in the self. Then you're acting just like an offspring of Satan's kid. Now remember, they're eating from the knowledge, the tree of what? Knowledge of what? Good and evil. So that many of them have a form of godliness. I got a call the other day, yesterday, from someone asking me some questions about a child and so forth. And they were going to bring this child somewhere. And as they began to explain to me about where they were bringing this child, I said to them, I know you believe that this woman, this person is good and is gifted, but the person is practicing witchcraft. See, there's a lot of good people, but they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Again, in the kingdom of self, there's all kinds of beliefs and religions. Islam is the kingdom of self. Why? Because they got to force you to believe in them and believe in their demon god. And if you don't, then they kill you. Well, what the heck is that? That's the kingdom of self. Isn't it? Do you understand that? And there's so many other goofy belief systems in this world. One day, listen, every day is a Sabbath for me and you. If there's true relationship with the Lord, it ain't one stinking day. It's every day. Why? Because the word Sabbath means rest. And we serve the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Sabbath. I'm telling you, there's so much poop out there, it's ridiculous. It's sickening. Hallelujah. Self now is expressed in the flesh. Go to Galatians 5. Oh, hallelujah. Overcoming self. Galatians chapter 5. Are you all right? Are you getting this? Verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Let's speak it together, please. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of self. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you wish or desire of the flesh. Now look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the what? Law. Now the works of the flesh, see, this is the evidence of self. This is the expression, the reflection of the character of self. It says this, the works of the flesh are what evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, drugs, and so forth, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm a believer. Well, look at, if you're practicing these, God says you ain't no believer. Now let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the character of the Spirit is this. Love. Joy. Why? In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. Peace. Man, there's peace. Three emotions that come. It says, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, control over self. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are what? Christ, walking in God's presence, have what? Crucified self with its passions and desires for the world and the lusts of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Oh, hallelujah. Overcoming self with the presence of God, called the anointing. The anointing. The anointing. Matthew 23. No, wait a minute. Go somewhere else. Let's go to Colossians 2. Are you cool? Are you all right? Are you getting this? Grabbing hold. How many kingdoms are there? Three. What's the first one? Satan's kingdom. What's the second one? Self. What's the third one? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, glory. In verse 20. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, if you died with Christ, in other words, if you denied yourself, you accepted the death of Christ, and you're in the presence. In other words, you exchanged the presence of self for the presence of God. Does everybody get that? Therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of who? Men or what? Self. These things indeed have an appearance of what? Wisdom in what? Self-imposed religion. Self-imposed religions. Everybody's trying to always improve God. Believe me, God did not start denominations. That was the enemy. Why? Because it's brought division. Now there's doctrines. Hi, you a believer? No, I'm a Catholic. No, I'm a Baptist. No, I'm a Pentecost. No, I'm on this. No, I'm on that. What happened to Christian? A Christ-like. That's a denomination that's not a faith. It's not even a belief system. It's a name of an organization. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Nothing. It has to do with the kingdom of self. Imposed, self-imposed religion. False humility. And neglect of the body. But are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh or the indulgence of self. Self-imposed religions. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes because of their self-imposed religion. And in verse 25, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you will also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Kingdom of self. Amen. You know, there's something important I want to share with you, because how many of y'all know rejection is an emotion? Rejection is a fruit of self. Grab this. Rejection is an emotion of self. Why? First of all, God rejects self, doesn't he? But self cries out rejection. It always cries out rejection. Because when you're in the spirit, it doesn't hold. But when you're in the flesh, it grabs you. People are always crying out rejection. People do strange things because they believe they've been rejected. In fact, that's probably one of the most understood things. Offense. When people are offended, they believe they've been rejected. But that's nothing to do but self. Then they fall into the baby Huey syndrome. Woe is me. They power. Oh. The only reason why. Look, at any time your eyes are on you, you're in self. Well, what about? Well, don't you see what that person? You're in self. Quit accusing others. That's all you're trying to do is promote yourself better. Does everybody get this? Self is nothing but being enough. I mean, rejection is nothing but being in the flesh. Woe is me, poor baby. Give you a binky. 2 Peter chapter 2. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Whines like a baby and wants everything it can have. That's self. Now, there's a difference of standing up for what is righteous. Amen? But we want to be led by the Spirit. Flesh has no response. Self has no response. The only thing self does is react. That's all it knows what to do. React. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's grow for it. Hallelujah. In verse 4, let's speak it together. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world and of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly or in the flesh, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of what? Listen, you can't be delivered in the flesh. You must first get in the Spirit, because you, look it, you can't grab the hand of God in the flesh. You grab the hand of God in the Spirit. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh or self in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are what? Presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or those in authority. Presumptuous, that's associated with assumption. See, self always assumes. It never waits for direction. It just flies. Then it reacts. They are not afraid to speak evil of authority or dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power or might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Accursed children. Presumptuous, they assume, self-willed, not seekers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 19. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19. And it says, again, you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your what? Edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I should be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lust. When I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness, which they have practiced. In other words, they have backslidden into that place again, this grumbling and complaining and so forth. Slip back into the kingdom of self. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a couple more scriptures. You know, one of the things of the kingdom of self is called Facebook. It's called self-book. It's nothing but a gossip column. If you're not proclaiming Christ, you're proclaiming yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Self-book. It should be just flesh-book. It's the flesh-book. Oh, you're on flesh-book. Yeah, I saw you on Fleshbook. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Is everybody there? I speak it. I wrote to you in my epistle. What's it say? Not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexual immoral people of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside of the kingdom? Do you not judge those who are inside the kingdom? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from you yourselves that evil person that causes division and strife. And I want to close at the book of Daniel. I do have other scriptures, but I'm sure we'll get to them at another time. Daniel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 10. You know, one of the things self loves to do is take on cares, takes on burdens. It's a busybody. Loves to get in everybody's stuff. In fact, the word tells us that why did you begin? In other words, many people begin in a spirit and end up going back in the indulgence of the flesh, and their confidence is now in the flesh. So they've backslidden. See, the enemy's always trying to get you into the flesh. Why? Because he who sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. So he's trying to reconnect you again and keep you in the kingdom of self, preventing you from operating in the kingdom of God. So the only thing you're looking at is you. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking to me this word, I stood trembling. And he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand and what? Humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, not exalting yourself. Amen? Humbling yourself. Humbling is essential. So again, here's the area. Overcoming self. First recognize that there is one. Amen? And recognize that it is your enemy. And the only way to overcome self is with God's presence, so that you are led by the Spirit. And that cannot be maintained unless you maintain a humble spirit. Amen? A humble spirit. When you blow it, repent. Admit it. Don't justify, don't reason, and don't blame someone else for your garbage. Amen? Why? You end up right back in the kingdom of self. Can God trust you then? No. That's why people don't get promoted. Does everybody understand that? It's important. We want to earn God's trust. He wants to bless us, but he's not going to bless us in the flesh. He's going to bless us in the Spirit. So we must overcome self. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed be imparted, protected by the blood of the Lamb, so that it grows and bears fruit for your glory. And I pray a blessing for each and every one here today, that revelation would be imparted to them, so that restraints would be put back on the flesh and on self, and that a desire to want to please you all the days of their life would be maintained, knowing that everyone will stand before you and give account. So, Father, not only your blessing, but your face shine upon your people, your countenance uplift them, bring healing to their bodies, and visit them in dreams and visions, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.